Oilers. We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston, and this evening I'm joined live in person in front of a studio audience, my good friend Taylor. How are you doing tonight, man?
Doing okay. That was me howling in the background. That's how excited I am to be here.
Yeah, it's a full moon tonight.
I just have to do my regular howl, because that's what I'm all about.
We're just two werewolves having fun.
Ooh, ooh!
So for tonight's show, we're going to answer some listener questions, and we're also going to go through our NFL season awards for the free agency period as well, too. And we have a lot of awards here. I guess a lot of things to talk about. The first thing I want to talk about, though, is the big news on Friday, and that was the trade that the San Francisco 49ers and the Miami Dolphins made to have the 49ers jump up into the third overall pick. So what did you make of this trade? Do you think the 49ers are doing this to draft a quarterback?
Well, yeah, but I also think it's kind of one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. Hey, we're going to trade away everything to get the third best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's potentially
like,
so.
Like, think about that. That's what they're really giving all of that away for, which, by the way, doesn't seem that worth it to me.
I mean, it really is like they kind of, like, they're paying Garoppolo $22 million.
Which I wouldn't want to do.
Yeah,
well, you know what? $22 million this day and age, I'll take that.
That's
please.
Can I have that? It is a discount, but it's also like they can cut or trade Garoppolo and save $22 million in cap space.
I'd cut that.
So then they're like, well, our offense is really easy to play in. We can draft a quarterback early, you know, early on. They probably like Trey Lance a lot, is my guess. That they like him a lot. The guy from North Dakota State, and then because he's tall and he's athletic.
That's what you're
gonna.
But that's what you're doing though. You're trading away for that.
Well, you're doing that, and then you're also saying, well, we have $22 million extra in cap space, and we have a rookie quarterback on a contract, on a cheap contract, which is the cheat code to having a good NFL team, especially with how much like quarterbacks are worth nowadays, too. And, like, you know what Garoppolo gets you? Garoppolo can manage a game for a really great team, but he can't make that big throw. He had that one chance, and that was it. And so, like, I think it was a strange move, but I don't necessarily think it was the wrong move at all for him.
I kind of see what you're saying. I'm not so, and that's the only reason why is that I'm just not a fan of Jimmy G whatsoever. So I think he's pretty much the worst. He just looks good. He's lucky. He's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Whoever we had as our guest, that Michael guy talking about the hottest 100. Good Lord. He must love himself some Jimmy G. But when it comes,
he calls him Jimmy Cream.
Is that what it is? Uh-huh. Jimmy Cream. Ugh. That's just ooh. So when it comes to though the. What they're getting out of it, I kind of understand with how much space they're going to be able to have. I just don't think you can really predict the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I mean, we kind of saw it with Herbert here this past season where everybody thought he was the greatest thing watching.
Yeah.
And you never believed that in going into the draft. And then you had the Patrick Mahomes thing in the Kansas City. Sure, he's had all the weapons in the world, but he also wasn't picked until, what, 11th?
I think he was picked like 9th.
It was 10.
Kansas City trade. Well, he was picked 10th. After Trubisky.
Yeah.
It went Trubisky and then him and then Watson.
I just don't know if you're going to be able to predict anything with the quarterback. So you're pretty much just flipping a coin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because the moment that you also see what else was available, though, at the quarterback position, you then kind of realize maybe that was their only option to be able to get Jimmy G and start something new where you would take the coin.
Yeah. Well, and so the trade was that Miami traded 3 overall to San Francisco for 12 overall. And then along the way down, they got a 2022 first-round pick, a 2022 third-round pick, and a 2023 first-round pick. Like, even if Houston traded Deshaun Watson for this, you'd be like, that's okay. I don't know.
It's okay. Like,
it's
yeah.
okay, you know, especially
it's not the greatest,
everything
it's
else
okay.
that's happened as well, too. And then Miami went and traded number 12 overall. And the fourth round pick in 2000 and this year pick number 123 and 2022 first round pick to Philadelphia for the 6th overall pick and a 5th round pick and number 156. So what Miami did though is they turned Laremy Tunsil into 4 first round picks and they found themselves back up to number 6. So it's like they're going to get what the third best non-quarterback in the draft then probably. Because, like, the Jets are going to take a quarterback. The Jaguars are going to take a quarterback.
Yep.
The Niners are going to take a quarterback.
Yep.
And now them drafting six, it's like, well, you'd expect Cincinnati may take an offensive lineman, and now you're kind of a spot where you're just kind of taking whoever you want from there.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think, what would Miami take an offensive lineman?
Because
what are they going to really need so. At this point? Haven't they signed, didn't they just sign a wide receiver?
Well, they signed Will Fuller to a one-year $10 million
contract. There we go, baby!
And the Texans, they signed five wide receivers. They came out to $10 million, but they're like Chris Conley, Chris Moore,
yeah.
Andre Roberts,
okay.
Alex Erickson, guys who nobody's ever really watched before at all, unless you're sick like I am. But no, so Atlanta picks four, Cincinnati
Hot
picks
fire.
Five, and then Miami plays, picks six now. So it's like they're going to get the third best non-quarterback out there. And that may be another corner. Well, probably not another cornerback, but
ooh, what's the running back position like?
There's that one guy from North Carolina everybody likes who may be like the 34th, you know, pick player, but oh. Nobody in the first round.
Oh, okay, so there's not even a top running back. Then yeah, they're gonna probably go O lineman. If I were them though, I'm not.
They may take that Rayshon Jenkins guy from Northwestern, or since he could even take him as well too.
I don't think I would still want to play Tua. They got to be scared.
Yeah, they're going to though, unless there was some like talk that well they made this trade, for Deshaun so they can trade for Deshaun Watson. But if you're Houston, like you want three overall, if you're gonna trade Watson, like unless they're saying we don't want a quarterback this year, we want a quarterback next year. But it's like you made all these decisions to try to win seven games this year, maybe. So they're not really like in a position where they're trying to tank though. So I don't really buy that.
So if Miami gave you four first round draft picks in the next 2 years,
yeah,
you taking it? That's your trade.
Potentially.
Straight up. No, that's your trade. That's all you get. You want that?
I would want that.
I'd want that.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't make the trade the Jets, though.
Why?
Because the Jets have four first-round picks.
Yeah, but the Jets aren't going to give up anything.
Maybe
I don't
not.
Even know what they're going to do.
Maybe not.
What do they even do?
They're going to take probably Fields.
Oh, God.
Yeah, or Wilson. Who knows?
To go die?
Yeah.
You know what? Why? What's going on with Darnold? Darnold needs to go somewhere. He deserves another shot here.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They may trade him draft day.
He's probably going to Houston. You think you're going to trade your first rounder for him? First round?
So that's what Houston's going to do, three first round picks and Darnold?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's more believable than Tyrod Taylor leading a good football team in 2021.
Hey, man, you were the one that talked a lot of smack about him even after he got his lung punched. So that's all you, man.
Hey, Team Doctor, MVP 2020.
You know what? That would be karma, though. If he ends up on your team, that's exactly what you get.
He's already there.
Oh.
He's going to be the starter this year for Houston.
Oh, then there you go. That's all for Matt.
Yeah.
That is all for Matt. You're welcome. You're welcome. Matt caused that, everybody.
It already
happened.
It's
all the talking.
Yeah, it was a fun joke until reality
until
came knocking
it was
down.
Actually, it was a nice dream until it became real in a nightmare.
And so the other thing is the Eagles got a first-round pick out of this trade down as well, too, for 2022. So they got one of the Dolphins picks as well. So they're like, all right, well, we have Hurts. We have two first-round picks next year.
I don't know what they want.
And then I don't know what they're doing at all.
Yeah,
either.
I have no clue what they're doing.
There's a couple of teams where it's like, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I guess they're just paying bills. Some of these teams are like that. Philly's a little bit different because they're having to pay so much money about the Carson Wentz trade that they're kind of like, they have a quarterback on a rookie contract, but they really don't because they're having to pay Carson Wentz's salary like $26 million or so this year.
Well, that's good. It's not like Carson Wentz is happy where he's at or anything. It seems like that both teams were able to get what they wanted, except, once again, nobody knows what the hell Philadelphia is doing while Carson Wentz seems happy as can be. He's going on all these talk shows. He's just talking it up.
Who's he talking it up at?
He's going to the, what was it, Pat McAfee?
Pat McAfee.
McAfee, there we go. Yeah. He went on the show, man, and he was just talking it up like it was a good time.
That's good.
I don't know if that's
Carson.
Good. I just feel like that everyone now is going to be on Wentz's side because they're like, look at this nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Where's this guy been?
They have a dead money hit of $33 million for Carson Wentz this year.
That's not a lot.
And $5.8 million to Deshaun Jackson this year.
That's fine. Deshaun didn't sign anybody.
So I really think that's what the Eagles' plan is like. We're planning on this year. We're probably going to be bad. We have two first-round picks next year. And the next year, we don't have to pay Carson Wentz $33 million.
Who did Sean sign with?
The Rams. The Rams have two players this year. Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Jackson. That's it.
Isn't that all you need, though?
And they've lost like 10 players on top of that.
Okay, maybe not.
They're just the Chiefs. They're top heavy, where it's like we have, but instead of having the greatest quarterback, we have the best cornerback and the best defensive tackle. And then it's like they make everybody else who are like undrafted free agents late round picks good enough to fill in the blanks.
I guess that's fair. I guess it's, you know what? I would take that too.
You like that?
Yeah, I would take that over what I have.
That's copyrighted.
I don't know what I have.
All right. Well, so you want to do listener questions first? Let's do awards first, then we'll do listener questions.
That's fine if you want to go.
All right. So what is your favorite like player, team, regardless of contract, just like fit, like the way it looks, you know? What is your favorite player going to a team?
I think I said it earlier here. It's going to be the Carson Wentz and Indy. For some reason, this is just continuing like it's the greatest time ever. He's taking photos with the wide receivers. They're having a good time. He's going on the talk shows. He's talking about how excited he is. I just think him and Indy is going to be a good fit. And the coach keeps boasting him up, saying he's the greatest thing. Carson's going to have another career season just like he did the last time they were together.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but it was the last time they were together, though.
It's still a while ago.
Either way, it's funny because that's where I feel like the best fit is right now, only because of the positivity that seems to be coming out of the camp. Otherwise, I would love the Will Fuller to the Miami Dolphins. I just hate the quarterback so much.
Yeah, I would love Will Fuller there, but it's just a bad spot.
If it was him and Fitz, oh my Lord, that would be some fun action to watch for the
Miami.
Or
even if it was like 2016, it was him and Tannehill. That'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but yeah, it's not, it's like, I wish Fuller was somewhere more fun.
It's not going to be fun.
I can't believe he only got 1 year, $10 million as well.
Yeah, but how many games did he play last season?
Well, he played, I think, 11, and then he got hit with a suspension.
Ooh, there you go.
But he was healthy all year.
Yeah, but it's all about that suspension.
And then so he misses week one this year, though.
Yeah.
There's always something with him, but I'm surprised it was for what it was, though. My favorite one was Bud Dupree going to the Tennessee Titans.
Why would that be your favorite?
Wait a second.
That's how angry I am.
My favorite one, though, is Bud Dupree going to the Tennessee Titans. Because it's like they got what they needed or what they thought they were getting out of Jadeveon Clowney, but it's not Clowney. And like Dupree's like the run defender Clowney used to be, you know, before last season happened where he was out of shape and then he got hurt and everything else. And like he's a madman. He's very monstrous. And he's exactly what like Tennessee was missing last year. And there's a lot of kind of like talk like, this is a too high of a contract. Dupree's not that good. But like I think a lot of people think about Dupree like the first 4 years of him in the league. But the last 2 years, he's been really great. And like he's been just like he makes plays like stopping the run, the edge that I've only seen like Clowney make before. And like he's that caliber.
Oh my God. What are we going to have a Dupree watch this year? You're already starting this early.
You want to?
No, I don't want to start this already. I'm not asking for it. What I have an issue with, Matt, why are we talking about your favorite team on planet Earth? Is this all I'm used for is so that you can talk about how great your Tennessee Titans are?
No, not at all.
I feel like they're your team.
No, I mean, like, they're one of my five favorite teams.
You love them so much.
It's hard, though. They've lost a lot of players this offseason.
Well, yeah, I feel like actually their shot's gone. Even though they keep showing me some Derrick Henry footage of him just keep working out, it's pretty insane.
Yeah. I think Henry has another year in him. Like, I'm not really concerned about Henry at all.
Oh, no, yeah, easily. I think he has another 2 years, actually.
I'm more concerned about making Kendall Lamb their starting right tackle than I am about Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to the Tennessee Titans and the Doug Dupree, I do agree that this is actually a big step up for them and something they need, because it just seemed like that Tennessee, you used to believe them as a defensive team in a way.
And they were awful last year on defense.
Exactly. That they would at least be able to make some type of play, to be able to get after the quarterback, to be able to do something. But man, they really were trying to play the I'm going to outscore you game like we're the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't ever seem like the Tennessee play for me.
I don't think that was their plan. I think it just worked out like that where, you
know. It's what you had to rely on.
Yeah, I think it just worked out like that. I think like Vrabel has never been a very good defensive coordinator in both of his stints at it. Now they have an actual defensive coordinator who's just somebody they promoted from internally on the football team. I think it was their outside linebackers coach. I can't remember
That's
exactly.
Good. This should be
but it's
solid.
Like Mike Vrabel's best friend is now the defensive coordinator.
Awesome. I'm glad.
But I do like Dupree a lot. I think he's underrated. I think he was definitely worth the contract that he got. I think like he's a similar caliber player, Matthew Judon, like with the Patriots, except I enjoy watching him play more. And I do think he's exactly what the Titans needed. Thought they were getting out of Clowney last year, but it just didn't work out like that.
We might as well start the Dupree watch.
All right. So what was your favorite discount signing? Because mine was Hassan Reddick going to the Carolina Panthers. 1 year, $6 million. Your Reddick had like finally a breakout season last year. A lot of his sacks also weren't just like, oh, I just ran really fast and kind of ran my way into the sack at all. They were actually like tangible production that he was creating there. And so now Carolina, you have Brian Burns, you have Reddick, you have Derek Brown, you have Yeter Gross-Matos, and like you have a very like you know deep and very deep and like really like combative pass rush now in Carolina. And then on top of that too, they have like an actual linebacker in Denzel Perryman. Like he's not great, he's very fine. That's a big improvement for them as well too. And so that was my favorite discount addition. What about you, Taylor? What was your favorite discount addition?
For me, so I thought it was interesting, even though I don't know if you'll think it's a big deal, but it was Damian Williams for the Chicago Bears. For some reason,
that's the one you like.
That's the one that I like more than anything because I don't think that Andy Dalton's going to be able to do anything. And I feel like that what's missing is, from the Chicago Bears standpoint, that running game. So why not be able to add Damian Williams, who I think is a solid back, who's just been kind of put in... I really think that Kansas City kind of screwed up with their running back situation. I don't think that you ever really were able to establish one guy to truly be great, and you kept trying to use everybody. Mm-hmm. Like it was some type of damn game. So you don't really know who's the great. And when Damian Williams was playing a lot, I felt like that he was a solid guy to be able to rely on. Andy Dalton's going to need somebody to throw screen passes to all day.
Yeah, I mean, David Montgomery's still there. Even though he's not that good.
He's
still there, though. Tariq Cohen is still there.
Cohen. They don't use Cohen at all.
Well, he got hurt last year, though.
Even when he's not hurt, they don't play him.
Well, he had that great rookie year. He was bad sophomore year, and he got hurt last year. But they still have three running backs, so we'll see how that plays out. I have no idea what the Bears are doing at all.
Oh, no. Like, I got another one. I have nothing.
We had an award here. The next award is, what the hell are they doing? I picked the Chicago Bears. No, like,
you did?
Look, I'm not against signing Andy Dalton to be the starting quarterback, but it's like, I don't understand signing Dalton and then releasing Fuller releasing you know, the cornerback Kyle Fuller like they did. He's like one of the six best cornerbacks in football because they couldn't like agree to a restructure of his contract. I'm like, nah, we'll just not keep you here at all anymore. And then he went to Denver immediately. I didn't understand that at all. And they lost, you know, Roy Robertson Harris, who's one of, you know, who's a good defensive lineman. He went to Jacksonville, and so they lost some depth there. Akeem Hicks has been able to negotiate and try to find a new trade as well, too. So it's like they're losing pieces of their defense. They have the same general manager, the same head coach, and now it's Andy Dalton. They didn't add anything to their offensive line either. They franchise tagged Allen Robinson. Nothing they've done this offseason has made any sense at all whatsoever.
Okay, the Damian Williams thing made sense, though.
They did one thing. Trying to trade for Russell Wilson made sense. They told him no, but that made sense, though.
That's true, but the Andy Dalton thing does not.
It doesn't.
No.
Nothing else makes sense. Williams. Williams is fine. Trying to trade for Russell Wilson made sense. Nothing else has, though, at all.
I completely agree, except I'm still not going to be able to choose them as that team. We've already talked about the team I'm going to pick because they're in my division. I don't know what the hell the Philadelphia Eagles are doing.
Well, I think we figured it out.
I don't think we figured it
out. Carson Wentz has a dead cap hit, $33 million this year, and they added a first-round pick, and they're like, we're going to be bad this year, and we have two first-round picks next year, and then we'll...
That's what you're relying on, just two first-rounders for the next year?
Obviously,
that doesn't
sound
like a really great game plan.
They're going to have a top five, top 10 pick next year, and they'll have salary cap space next season, too, and this year they're going to figure out what they have in Jalen Hurts.
So pretty much they're just tanking.
They're like, yeah, they're reloading.
No. That's what you're saying with this team is that they are tanking and you figured them out.
Yeah. Okay. They're going to figure out they have in Jalen.
Well, then,
and
just let you know, that's
year.
What I can say about the Chicago Bears then. Because the moment that you sign Andy Dalton and the moment you say he is your starter, I don't think you're saying we're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's just them keeping it who they've kept and making franchise tag decisions. Like, don't franchise tag Allen Robinson then.
Well, that's their own issues because AR-15,
unless you're
gonna
trade
man,
him.
He's there. Yeah, you're going to have to.
That's not really
a
tank, though, over there. Like, Philadelphia's like, we have a big salary cap issue this year because of Carson Wentz.
That's fine.
We have two first-round picks next year, and we'll just see what we have in Hurts. And if we like what we have in Hurts, then we'll build around that next year. If we don't, we'll get take a quarterback or go from there on that position of it.
No, I don't think they believe in Hurts whatsoever.
We'll see.
I don't think so at all. I'm not convinced that they believe in that man.
We'll see.
You mean we'll see?
I don't know.
Usually
I think
right.
It's too early
what
to tell.
What are we
going to
do, clowny watch? Is that what we're going to do now?
No. We'll do that later. Yeah. Well, you hear about... this is the clowny watch. You ready for it?
No, I'm not.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Nope.
Went to visit
nope.
the city of Cleveland, and he came back without a contract. Clowny watch continues.
Man.
That's the one team he went to go visit was Cleveland again. He's like, nah, I still don't like it here.
Why? Why would
they try
you
to
go
sign
there?
Him last year, too.
He should just come to Dallas, then.
Seems
like a Dallas player. I'm going to play when I want.
I think he'd be good
I'll
at
play
a
when I
places.
Actually want to try. It's a Dallas Cowboy player right
there. I just
there.
Hope Clowney signs somewhere early on and actually goes to training camp this year. And actually goes to team workouts this year.
All he has to do is play one really good year on a $5 million contract, and Jerry Jones will pay him a record-breaking contract.
All right.
That's all he has to do.
Well, they didn't keep your boy Alden Smith this year.
Oh, what?
And they didn't. They said they're not going to keep him.
You know why?
Why?
Because his contract went to Dax money.
Okay.
Great.
The $3 million.
Yeah.
I do have another discount free agent I really liked, and that was Cam O'Neill going to the Dallas Cowboys. He's signing a $6 million contract. He's a box safety. He's who you want to play strong safety in a cover three defense, and that's what Dallas is going to run now that Dan Quinn is their defense coordinator. And like whenever Quinn had that, you know, not necessarily a good defense, but that defense they caught fire in their playoff run the second half of the season when they went to the Super Bowl. Neil and the other free safety they had, those are two of the three best players in that defense. And Neil was awesome. Like, he's a big hitter. He's pretty much the linebacker of the safety position. And I think he's been great in Dallas this year. And it was a slam dunk, a cheap contract.
Did you just say something positive about my team?
Yeah, Cannon Neal's a great signing there.
I'm not even going to be able to. No, I'm done. I'm what? Done. Like, this means nothing to me when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. I have nothing positive to say when I'm paying a quarterback $70 million this year. That doesn't make me feel good.
It doesn't make you feel good at all?
No! I'm getting nothing. I'm now going to be mediocre for the next 5 years. 4 years.
4 years?
4 years. Mediocre.
I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, mediocre. See you next season. I'm 500. I'm always going to be 500.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll be positive on is if I can get rid of the running back piece of crap at this point.
Well, yeah, I think you have to wait one more year for that to happen.
God. Or unless we could trade him this year. Maybe we're going to be so bad because both him and Dak are going to have fumble records that we're going to have to get rid of Fat Boy.
So Ricardo Allen was the other safety for Atlanta. Him and Neil were really good in 2016 together. And they got hurt, and they got hurt, and they got hurt. And then last year they were just kind of bad. But... I'm betting on a big year from Cannon Neal in Dallas this year.
I'm not betting on anything.
You should.
No.
All right, so the next word I have here is all in on the rookie quarterback, and that's the New York Giants. They added Kenny Golladay. They added Devontae Booker. They added Adoree Jackson. They added Larry Odenigbo. They added John Ross. They added Ryan Anderson. And they added Zach Fulton. Daniel Jones, this is the do or die year for him entering year four this season. Or year three?
At least no, year year four. It's not year four. This
year
is year
three.
Year three.
Entering
yeah.
year three.
Danny Dimes is just, yeah.
I still think this is kind of like it for him, though, in New York, considering how much they built around him. And the one thing about
what?
Them.
His
yeah.
team's always injured.
Well, I think this is it for him. I think this is the year for him.
What?
This is it.
How?
Quarterbacks usually don't get better from like year three to year four.
But I don't think anything is his fault.
I think the problem, though, with them last year was they're like, oh, we're going to run the super vertical offense. And Jason Garrett's offensive coordinator was like, no, we're going to run screens.
Yeah.
We're going to run slants. We're going to run drags. And like towards the end of the year, they finally got Evan Engram going and they actually ran some seam routes and stuff. But I think they can turn like Daniel Jones into sort of, you know, play action deep thrower. Because he has the arm strength, he can make some really ridiculous throws downfield. If they can actually build around that, I think there's something there, especially, you know, with Saquon coming back and everything else. And then adding Kenny Golladay there helps that as well, too. But it's like, are they actually going to do it, though? And if they do it, like, this team could win the division next year. But I don't know if they're going to do that or not, because they never kind of do it makes sense to them, you know?
I don't think this team's going to be good at all, unless they're extremely healthy all season, which I do not see this team being able to stay healthy whatsoever. Then sure, they may have a shot to be able to have one game above 500. But other than that, I'm not really a believer. I mean, Do you really think that it's Danny Dimes' fault that his wide receivers really weren't that great? And do you think Galladay is really that great of a receiver?
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
I don't think he's that great.
I think he's one of the, like, seven best downfield threats in football.
No, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look down downfield threats. I don't have that list in front of me, but I'll get that.
He was hurt last year.
Oh,
but
okay.
The 3 years before that, he's incredible at that.
I mean the 3 years before that.
First 3 years of his time.
Oh,
in the NFL.
Okay. I thought you meant he's been hurt for
no,
3 years.
No, he was just hurt last year only.
Okay. That's where I was confused about. But yeah, I'm not that convinced, though, and I do agree they are loading up when it comes to New York Giants that this is where they are saying this is your shot, this is your year, we're giving you everything you could ever want. I just feel like that the entire team is still kind of designed around Saquon. I don't think that it's really the Danny Dimes show. I don't really see him as a guy who's going to be slinging it over and over again.
Well, he doesn't have to do that. But
and
it
isn't
has
he
to
more
be like,
of a runner to
yeah,
himself?
Well, he was their best running back. Well, Wayne Gallman actually was better than him.
But that's what
Wayne got better. But no, I mean, we're like Saquon runs a lot, and then Danny has to hit like five deep throws or whatever, you know?
Yeah, so I mean, he's, what, Kirk Cousins?
No, because Kirk is a coward and doesn't like throwing the ball downfield very much. More like Ryan Tannehill, I would say.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to blame Danny Dimes if they're not a good team. I just don't think I could see that if they're not good, this is his fault.
Okay.
That's where I'm at with it.
That's fair.
I do agree with the overload, though, for the rookie.
I like their cornerbacks. I don't like their linebackers very much, but I still can't believe they gave Blake Martinez all that money to be terrible. They give him like $9 million a year to be an awful linebacker there. And their defensive line, they kept Leonard Williams there, which everybody knew they were going to do. They lost Alvin Tomlinson, but there's still enough talent on that defensive line for them to still be, you know, like a above-half defense, you know?
No, I don't believe in this
team
at all.
I think the Giants are interesting to me next
year. They're third in the division.
They're interesting to me next year.
They're third in the division.
They're still interesting to me next year. Most likely to trade up and draft a quarterback, aside from San Francisco 49ers. Who you got?
Oakland Raiders.
Las Vegas Raiders?
No, Oakland Raiders. That's who I'm voting for. All right,
we'll make the argument then.
I'm not going to make any argument for them because...
No, I'm saying make the argument why you think they will do something like that.
Because John Gruden loves himself a quarterback.
Okay.
So I think that if he truly loves somebody in this draft that's going to be able to make him a wet at the mouth, dripping, then he would trade anything underneath the sun in order to get it.
Interesting.
So I feel like that as far as somebody trading up and wanting a quarterback, I don't see another team that would be able to make that move at this point.
See, I think there's something to that.
Miami won't do it, and I want them to do it, but they won't do it.
I think there's something to that mainly because they traded Gabe Jackson, Ronnie Hudson, and like they were led by their offensive line. Their offense worked because Derek Carr needs lots of time to throw the ball. And if he has 5 seconds to throw the ball, he's great.
Yeah.
If he only has a second half to throw the ball, he's bad. And so it's like, I don't know what you're looking to do here if your plan is to trade your offensive line away from a quarterback that absolutely has to have it. And it's not like they have like depth or like young players like ready to step up in those roles and be great already next year. And really what they did was they went from their offensive line, their defensive line. So they turn those players into Yannick Ngakoue, Quinton Jefferson. They're the team to take a flyer on Solomon Thomas, who was, you know, top five pick with the 49ers, who was a bust and never actually had any good seasons at all with San Francisco. He was hurt last year, and you know, there wasn't even like the opportunity for him there at all either. And so they went from they deplete their offensive line, invest in their defensive line. So now you have Farrell, you have Crosby, you have Ngakoue, you have Quinton Jefferson. And now, like, they have this offense and this offensive line that doesn't match Derek Carr at all whatsoever. And so I do think for that reason alone, that lends itself to being a possibility where the Raiders do trade Derek Carr and then try to trade it for a quarterback.
Are you saying that you agree with me?
I had never thought about this until you mentioned it, but I think this is a possibility.
Oh! Wait, who did you have down then?
I have the New England Patriots.
Okay, by the way, can we just say this? Regardless of all the moves that Bill is making and look what he's doing and this, and that, what a piece of crap for never doing that with Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, I know how bad I am now, so now I'm going to be able to do it. Dude, you look awful. You look like the ex-girlfriend trying to look pretty. You look like that you just got a makeover being, look how good I am without you. You weren't the best, and you're already married without them.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
Well, it's funny too because, like you mentioned, and also said about like what the Patriot way is. Like, oh, the Patriot way.
Oh, we're going against that now all of a sudden.
And the Patriot way is, having the greatest quarterback of all time who takes $10, $15 million less than he should make every year. I mean, that's what it is. Like, everything else works in that environment because of that quarterback and that structure there at that point.
By the way, isn't it weird that the quarterbacks, and this is what I hate about Dak Prescott, this is what I'm going to go to, that this is all about, look how much I'm getting paid versus, huh, there must be something to you just taking $25 million like Brady.
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder if that helps your team by being able to do that. Oh, well, Brady has the luxury of his wife, blah, blah, blah. You're trying to tell me that $25 million is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to make sure we're clear on
or
that.
Or 30 we're, in the case of Dak Prescott.
Are we on the same page here? Well, I just want to make sure that we're clear.
Yeah. Well, it's like...
it's disgusting.
And Jerry will just put some mattresses in his house with cash in it.
Yeah,
you know?
What are we talking? Here's a brand new TV. By the way, it doesn't work. Open the back.
Yeah, it's a gift. Don't worry about
it, Dak. That's all it is.
So New England picks 15 overall, and they made all these moves, and they already had, like, you know, young foundational players. They had a good offensive line. Yeah. They had zero talent at the skill player position. They added Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar. They had Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. And I think they're going to trade up and draft a quarterback. And, you know, it's one of those things too where defenses now are all nickel and they're moving to the dime. They're moving to like the big dime where you have, or the big nickel where you have the safety come in and play linebacker instead. And it's like the middle of the field's open now. And like you can play two tight end sets and have a lot of success again because it shifted so far in the other direction. Now it's open. And so I do think like Jonnu Smith and Henry make sense. In the way the NFL has kind of changed
Henry
the other
makes
direction.
Sense for 3 weeks until he's out.
He was healthy all last year.
3 weeks.
I love Hunter Henry. I think it's going to be a great
year
for him.
I think he's great when healthy.
He was healthy last year.
Hey, I'm just telling you what I'm saying, all right?
Yeah. I know he was hurt the first 3 years before that, but he was healthy last year.
Yeah, whatever.
But they don't have a quarterback, though. And it's like they can make all these moves. I don't understand the Gotcha move. I don't really understand getting Matthew Judon
Cam
that
Newton
much.
Is their quarterback. How dare you?
Yeah, well, he's done. but I mean, like, they did overpay for a lot of this stuff, though. And so like, there's no point for the moves that you have. Cam Newton's your quarterback. Jarrett Stidham's your quarterback. So I do think they're going to trade up and they're going to get a quarterback. Or they're going to trade, you know, if Derek Carr is available. Because like Carr could play in New England because of the offensive line they have. Or if, I don't know, I guess we're talking about somebody else. Another quarterback could be available. I can't remember now.
I don't know.
Who cares?
Yeah.
But I think they're the one team now that San Francisco may trade up where they could trade with Cincinnati. They could trade up. With the other team he's drafting ahead of him. Other option there is available to him.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on the New England. That would make sense because they are making so many moves that it would just be hilarious for then everybody to then argue on ESPN, this is exactly what the Patriot way is all about, everybody. And it's like the first time they'll ever be able to do something like this. Man, the Patriots just irk me. This is just not okay for me. You're just jelly. I can just see the jelly oozing from you. You're like Uzma Kappa.
Oozing.
What's Uzma Kappa?
Right, so
from
they could.
That?
They could. I don't know. What is it?
Monsters Inc. Bro, University.
It's been a long time. I never saw University.
All right. I know what we're doing after this.
Okay. Well, no. So they could trade with Atlanta or Cincinnati. I keep forgetting that Atlanta picks fourth.
Doesn't Atlanta want a quarterback?
Maybe.
Doesn't everybody want a quarterback in the top five?
Except for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though Joe Burrow's
a virgin. I was
going to
say, isn't he 30 now?
Joe Burrow's a virgin compared to Justin Herbert.
That's true.
The Chad Justin Herbert and the virgin Joe Burrow.
He's also half his age.
So the other thing about the Patriots, too, I had strangest signing. So I had Jonnu Smith, 4 years, $50 million, $31.25 million guaranteed. Like, I think Jonnu Smith is a really interesting player, but he's never, like, consistently produced over the course of an entire NFL season once in his entire career. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I don't know where the market is for Jonnu Smith and who they were bidding that much for with him as well, too, for Jonnu Smith to make the contract that he had. Like, I think he could be great in New England. I think it could work out, potentially. But the optics of it, everything Jonnu Smith has ever done before in his entire career, doesn't make very much sense at all for the contract that they gave him.
I agree. I actually agree with you entirely. Now, I do have a different player, but when it comes to what you're saying about Jonnu Smith, I I understand, except don't you just think that it's New England just wanting to run their two tight end set?
Yeah, I think so.
By the way, they're wanting to run the Aaron Hernandez two tight end set. Yeah,
the Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez two tight end set.
Ooh, look at us bringing that up now. Uh-huh. I like it.
This is bad. We're bad boys.
All right, so when it comes down to who I believe, man, I still don't get the Andy Dalton thing. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep going back.
That's the one. This is a strange signing for you.
This is so stupid.
Did you see the Bears Twitter account?
Which part?
They did a Photoshop of Andy Dalton in a Bears uniform, and they just put QB1.
Yeah, and it's with him and throwing in the sidearm, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's very funny.
It's okay. I don't understand this because it's also then coming out and them saying he's our starter. That's what Andy Dalton was promised, that if he came here and he signed with us, he was going to be our starter, no quarterback competition. Okay. The moment that a team blitz him, he's done.
Yeah. And the Bears don't have a good offensive line either.
Yeah. That's all the Bears were about, is their quarterback running the entire time, running away. He's just done.
How about just forfeit next season instead?
Yeah, just exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying about the strangest signing. And
trade up and select a quarterback.
I'm by my Bears insider sources that they're just like, who else did we have? We didn't have anybody else. Anybody would be better.
I will say this about Dalton. I think he'll look good when the Bears wear that bright orange uniform they have. You know what I'm talking about? The pumpkin top.
Okay.
I think Andy will look good when they wear that.
They should have them play on Halloween wearing those jerseys.
I like it.
And I want pumpkins all across the field.
QB 1 week, Andy Dalton, and that's Halloween weekend.
I like it.
And Nick Foles is still there, too.
Yeah, he's still there. That's why they don't want any quarterback controversy.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton's our guy.
Give it 7 weeks.
He's not your guy. That's a bad sign.
So John Smith is only due $5.6 million this year. It goes up to $13.7 million next year. And then Joe Thuney signed a 5-year, $80 million contract, $31.87 million guaranteed with the Chiefs. The Chiefs released Eric Fisher. They released Mitchell Schwartz. They're injured offensive tackles. And like I've been saying, you know, offensive tackles are important. They're not that important. Especially what's more important is the offense and the quarterback instead. And so it does make me happy to see the Chiefs go this route. And they gave Joe Thuney the contract they gave him, and now I'm kind of confused by it. And also, Thuney's contract is interesting because he goes from $4.5 million this year to $17.8 million the following year. So like, these teams who sign these big contracts, like, we're not paying you anything this year because, you know, we don't have necessarily the money, but because the cap shrunk. But then it balloons the following year, and you still get your signing bonus for, you know, signing this contract anyways. But I don't understand paying a right guard that much money, though. Especially, like, I mean, Thuney's great. You know, he's very good, but he's 29, and I just don't understand it.
Man, at this point, I feel like that I would much rather pay an offensive line any amount of money versus paying the quarterback that amount of money. I get it if it's a Patrick Mahomes guy where if it's no matter who you have, but like under you or above you, whatever you would say if you're a quarterback.
All around you.
Yeah, all around
you.
In
your mouth and all on top of you.
So when it comes to those type of special quarterbacks, they're very rare. You would want to just invest everything into the offensive line. And it's just because, like you even said about Derek Carr, in a way, Derek Carr's not the greatest, but you could have a mediocre quarterback, Kirk Cousins. Even Andy Dalton, if you give him at least some time. But you could have any type of decent quarterback if you're giving them time to be able to make an opportunity, they could do it. And I think that's why I would, if I'm an owner, overpay for an offensive line. I don't care what the position is, I'm doing it.
I think it depends on the quarterback and the offense you have.
Well, maybe quarterback.
But the Chiefs don't
need. But even a rookie, man. If I have Jalen Hurts, if I have any of those rookies, I'm investing everything into the offensive line.
I think Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, that you potentially may not need a great offensive line. Send them to Kyler Murray in Arizona.
Maybe, but then he's dead.
Send them to Deshaun Watson.
He's dead in 4 years. Deshaun, stop comparing that. That's what I'm saying. That's what people do. You're comparing to the greatest, like the Patrick Mahomes. Stop comparing it to the guys that are just that gifted. Not everybody can do that.
But you can do things that it depends on how you run your offense.
Not everybody can survive it. That's the best way for me to put it. It's you not having an offensive line and you having the quarterback run for your life. That's what it comes down to.
But I mean, what about Alex Smith and the Chiefs?
Alex Smith.
They pulled it off.
He almost died.
Yeah, like in Washington, but not in Kansas City, though.
But it was Kansas City. They got to a certain point with him.
Yeah.
And they did make it far in the playoffs.
Yeah, they made the second round a few times.
It's still pretty decent. And that was a few times where you realize that I have nowhere else to go.
But that was because of the quarterback, though, not because of the offensive line. They didn't go, oh, we got to make our offensive line better. They got better
at quarterback. But the O-line was great already.
But that was an offensive line that was made of late-round draft picks and Eric Fisher, and they just kind of found guys and pieced it together, though.
But it worked.
But that's what the point I'm trying to make. It's like your offensive line is important to a certain extent, but what's more important is the offense you run, the quarterback that you have.
But it's also kind of coming down to the guarantee. So you're saying that, no, they could have been able to pick up another right guard and it would have been the exact same.
And that's what they've been doing forever.
I know. But do you not think that it was worth it?
This one, I understand. It doesn't make sense to me.
No.
I don't think it was worth it from this perspective. See, and okay. The Chiefs are also a team, too. They always take offensive linemen. They just go, oh, here's another one. He can go play somewhere else, and we'll just find someone else to replace him. It doesn't matter at all. But Joe Thuney, I guess, was very important for whatever reason, though. But I'm interested to see how it plays out this year with him, how they use him, and why they made the decision that they made regarding Thuney.
Whatever. All I know is that I feel like that, again, if I'm the owner, I'm paying everything for the O-line. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, you can pay. They all
screw
pay
the wide receivers. I'm doing the O-line.
Screw the wide receivers.
Screw the wide receivers. I'm doing O-line all day long.
I think it depends.
What would I rather have? Amari Cooper for $20 million or an offensive lineman?
Well, that's a little bit different.
Why?
Because Amari Cooper is like not a super consistent offense, not a super consistent wide receiver.
What are you talking about? He's great. He's like top three in the NFC East.
All right. Is it Adam Humphries?
What?
Kenny Galladay, Amari Cooper, is that how it goes?
No.
No? Or Adam Humphries, my mistake.
Amari would probably be numero uno.
Okay.
I don't think there would be a better.
You think
a better?
Well, I think McLaurin's probably better.
I was going to say, McLaurin, I'm not.
Because McLaurin's more consistent.
I like
Even with
him.
Bad quarterbacks, he's been producing.
So I'm not going to hate on that. And by the way, I'll put it this way. I would much rather have McLaurin on my team than Amari Cooper.
All right.
Boom.
It's fun. I mean, again, like I think it depends on the quarterback and offense more than the offensive line. But there are certain quarterbacks that require it more than others. It's all.
It's
and so like, the Chiefs aren't a team that has to have a great offensive line. And so, and like even like I watched the film that Super Bowl, and the offensive line wasn't why they lost that game. They lost that game because their skill players dropping their passes, and they fell down 21-7, 24-7. They had to throw every single play because they were down. And then that was when the pass rush really got to them. But they fell down 24-7 not because of their offensive line, but because they had a bad game plan, and they had those drops that really screwed them up.
I'm actually going back to what you first said there. I think it was the game plan.
And the drops. Hill dropped that touchdown. Kelsey dropped that first down.
Yeah, but still, you know why?
They had that touchdown drop in the end zone too.
By the way, what do you think Tyreek Hill is going to be paid?
He's already been paid like $18 million this year.
No, I know. But did he sign the contract finally?
Last year, I think he did.
I thought he was getting
something else. Him, Kelsey, Chris Jones, Mahomes, they're all already paid.
They were asking him to restructure his contract, and he said, hell no.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I mean, you still make that money anyways, but I think it's like, I want my money now instead of 2 years.
Well,
he said,
no, once I'm signed, I'm signed.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to hate on that.
Yeah, they should have restructured or cut Matthew, but they decided not to. But they have Joe Thuney now, and that's the one player that they've had in Kansas City. So my next award here is, which playoff team is most likely to miss the playoffs next year? I have the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've done nothing. They've lost players. They've added nobody.
And they just believe that Big Ben's going to be able to bring them back to it.
I don't buy that. And also, like,
Juju took less money, by the way, to stay.
Yeah, because he's going to try it. And he wasn't that good last year also.
He wasn't that good.
And so like he's betting on himself for next offseason whenever the salary cap bumps up again too. But I don't know. They just haven't had anybody. I think that defense is going to regress some. They lost Mike Hilton. They cut Steven Nelson. They cut Vince Williams. They lost Tyson Alualu. Like, their defense is going to be worse next year. Roethlisberger always has his injury issues. Dwayne Haskins is backing him up. And they lost two of their starting offensive linemen as well. I just don't see it with them.
Well, and I think you and I talked about even last season, if I remember correctly, that we just felt like they were the luckiest team on planet
Earth.
You
were more on that than I was.
Okay. They were so bad watching against the Dallas Cowboys. Now I do remember. I'm actually going to agree with you. Even though I would like to say that the Washington Redskins probably wouldn't make it this year. But the Dallas Cowboys are going to disappoint me. when it comes down to, I am going to agree because I didn't even understand the Big Ben signing. I didn't even understand of you wanting him back. It's, you've lost a lot of weapons and you've lost a lot of things. Why not just rebuild?
Yeah.
Why not just kind of start over? But it just seems like that they're not wanting to throw in the towel and they believe that they're going to still be able to make it to the next stage. I agree. I don't think that team is going to be able to make the playoffs next year. I just can't see it because, again, last year, I felt they were so lucky. So lucky.
Until they had the worst luck in the world.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't really care because all season long, they didn't deserve to be where they were.
Yeah, I mean, just
they
like...
They didn't.
I mean, like, that was still bad luck to have the staff turn into a touchdown on the first drive of the game, you know?
Yeah, but then you
and
kept
then the
doing
interception
it.
That hits his hands that becomes a pick, and then also being cowards and not going for it on fourth and one.
That's what happens when you go to the big show.
Uh-huh. Like the Browns offseason, too. They added Malik Jackson. They added Joe Johnson. They also added Anthony Walker. I like what they've done so far.
Yeah, but we all...
They're just filling the holes.
We both know who this is coming down to.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, I like what they've done so far. Yeah. I liked it. It's been good. Next word I have here is, how does he keep getting away with it? And this is a player who keeps getting contracts, and you know how he keeps getting contracts. And it's Joe Flacco. He signed a contract to be the backup quarterback.
I was going
to
say it's Wacko Flacco for me if he signed with somebody.
But the Eagles. And you know what the first thing he said was?
I'm going to win the starter?
No, he said, I'm here to play football. I'm not here to mentor. He does it every year. Every year he goes somewhere to back up. He's like, I'm here to play football. I don't care about the kid or whatever who has a job. I'm here to play football. That's my profession. And he did it already. The first thing he says when he signs to Philadelphia is that he signed a 1-year contract to back up with the Eagles, which is absolutely ridiculous.
What the hell is the matter with this guy? And why does he even... See, this is why Philly, they are going to be done. I don't understand what they are doing. Besides, to your point, they're probably just tanking. Because that's what this is obvious now.
I think it's a tryout. I think it's just a tryout for Hurts. And again, I think it comes down... I've said this four times
now. Tryout? We're setting him up for failure.
No, I think their offensive line's going to be better next year. They have some fine young wide receivers, you know. They're supposed to trade Ertz, and that hasn't happened yet because Ertz doesn't block at all. And he's been hurt again.
Well, yeah, and he's pretty much a diva unless he gets the... Well, he's pretty much useless unless he's getting the ball.
Yeah, and his wife is a better football player than he is, too.
Whoa! Somebody call police!
My next word here is do something, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. They have $43 million of cap space entering this offseason, and everybody's surprised
they never
again.
Do anything.
I know.
What are we talking about? We've been doing this for 3 years now of them not doing anything.
It's so funny.
They have the most money.
You see, well, not they have the most money this year.
They have always like a top
2 years
three.
Ago. They
like,
did.
It's insane.
But yeah, they always do the same thing every year. They have all this money, and they're afraid to spend it. Last year, they kind of spent it by getting DeForest Buckner, but they did it again this year. I'm like, no, we're not going to sign body. They added Isaac Rochelle. Sam Tevy, who Carson Wentz is going to have 10 forced fumbles because of Sam Tevy if he starts the left tackle next season.
Great.
And they added one of my favorite players, the joy of my life, Julian Davenport. He's going to maybe start left tackle next year. Who knows? He's going to compete against Sam Tevy, I guess. And they're probably going to draft a left tackle in the first 2 rounds of the draft, too. But $43 million of cap space, they get Carson Wentz, they're nothing else. That's it. Nothing. Do something.
By the way, Matt, we've been through this. I'm not even going to get behind this.
I know. It's just funny. It happened again.
What do you mean? But it's. I don't understand how a team can be able to do this. Why wouldn't you sign Clowney?
They should.
Why wouldn't they?
I mean, I would hate it, but they should.
I think they should. Yeah. I think you should be able to just kind of do these little one-shot mercenary guys to be able to make your team just a slightly bit dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And Indy has never been able to make that type of move. It would be fun for them to be able to spend that money. But they're never going to.
And they brought
the money. They would be the people that would go to the strip club and you'd be like, yeah, make it rain. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to give them $1. And then I'm going to leave.
They'd be playing chess by themselves in the corner.
They're not playing. Or they're just at the bar
or reading a book.
A
yeah, at the bar reading a book, having a drink to themselves.
Yeah, it's probably a martini.
But they have a suitcase of money.
Yeah.
And then they have a martini and they're reading like, I don't know.
Da Vinci Code.
No, let's see. That's not bad, but I'll have a good book for it.
Oh, Da Vinci Code would be
perfect.
That works.
We'll do Da Vinci Code.
The illustration version, so it actually looks like a fancy book.
I like that.
Yeah.
So the next, or it's just the Farmer's Almanac. That works
that'd
as well,
so
too.
So great.
So the next.
Almanac just, just opening at the bottom. So we know I'm reading. Thank you.
I love my wife very much. I'm just here for the atmosphere.
Yes. By the way, do you happen to have that steak and egg special?
The hot dog. No, you get the hot dog at the strip club.
You don't want the hot dog.
You get the hot dog and shrimp at the shrimp club, at the strip club.
Is the shrimp on the hot dog?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Turn the strip club into the shrimp club, you know? So the next award I have here is Fixed It, and that's the Los Angeles Chargers. They added Matt Filer and Corey Linsley. So they have two new starting offensive linemen. They had cap space. They decided to add to their offensive line to some of the other spots they could possibly add it to. Nobody signed Melvin Ingram yet. I'm kind of interested to see. Maybe he just comes back there anyways. But that was kind of the one spot they had on their offense. Their offensive line was really bad. And they added a starting left guard. They had the best center available to him in Linsley. They added Odey Obusu. May start right guard. Who knows? Left tackle, they don't have one. But it's okay because they have Storm and Norman.
That's not good.
And Trey Pipkin. Right tackle, they have Brian Beluga as well, too. So
they didn't fix anything.
They got three-fifths of a starting offensive line right now.
They're not fixing anything with that.
Maybe four-fifths.
My fix-it is easily the Rams. You fixed your problem.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Then they lost the rest of their team, though.
Who cares?
It's all gone.
You fix your problem.
I don't know.
You fix what the issue was.
But it's just kind of reversed now.
It
flipped over something else. They just have, really the Rams depend on, can they find more magic in the fifth round, sixth round, seventh round again?
I think they will.
All right.
I think they're going to be good.
That'd be good.
I like this team.
Interesting. It'd be funny next year. I'm not a Rams fan. You're, and then
I'm
you
a
Rams
fan next year already. Right? I love me some Stafford.
I know you love Stafford. The next one I have here is run it back, which is the Bucs, because they just kept everybody. They didn't add a new player. They just kept re-signing all the players they have at discount contracts.
Man, I don't even want to do this anymore. We both know they're going to win.
I don't think so, necessarily.
Really? Who's going to beat them?
A lot of teams.
Who's going to beat them in the NFC?
Carolina.
Okay. Now we're just dreaming. We're just dreaming big now. That's what we're going to do.
That's my masturbatory fantasy is Teddy Bridgewater beating the Bucks in the NFC Championship game.
That's never gonna happen.
After
never
my
in a million years.
Well, if thoughts
you should
are
make that
energy,
bet on Vegas for $5 because I feel like that your winnings for that, Matt. What would you win? It's got to be probably 500,000.
Who knows?
We should make a bet on it.
I just saw it. That's why I bet it.
You never saw it.
So my last award here is favorite offseason. So which team had the best free agency period according to you?
Best offseason. Man, I don't even know. I'm just going to say the Dallas Cowboys. And it's because I'm done with the drama. So I don't have any more drama in my life. I can at least be able to sleep I could sleep well knowing that everybody's signed. So I'm stuck with what I have forever.
Yeah.
So at least that gives me that type of peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the Dallas Cowboys for my answer.
Okay.
Who do you got?
I have the Washington football team.
Of course you do.
So they have Ryan Fitzpatrick to compete with Taylor Heineke now.
Heineke should be their guy.
We'll see. Who knows? Competition's never a bad thing. They
tell it to Andy Dalton.
Yeah, it's true. He has no competition. He already won the job. God, that makes it even funnier. Like, he's ours. That's it. No more conversation.
There's no competition. We're done. Nick Foles, go fuck yourself.
They added William Jackson III to replace, you know, Ronald Darby. And Darby signed a big contract with the Bears, I think. It didn't make sense. He signed a big contract, though.
Yeah.
Like a pretty good contract.
It probably makes sense. You're just probably being a hater. You know
no,
why?
He's not.
You're against the players making money. That's who you are.
Oh, no. He signed with the Broncos.
You got it with a B.
So they have Darby and they have Fuller. It's fine, I guess.
I don't think that's that great.
I think Darby is
who
acceptable.
Who is their quarterback?
Drew Lock still.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to watch a Broncos game as long as he's a quarterback.
That's awful.
Yeah. But they added William Jackson III, who was a top five cornerback 2 years ago, had down year last year, signed to a perfectly reasonable contract. They also added Curtis Samuel, a great deep threat, a good drag wide receiver. Him and McLaurin on the outside is probably
should
the best.
Be really good.
That's the best wide receiver tandem Well, that's not true.
I don't know.
Yeah. I stopped talking there.
Yeah, I was kidding.
They also added
Gallup, Lamb, and Amari Cooper.
They had Adam Humphries as well, a great slot receiver when he's healthy. Was hurt the entire time he was in Tennessee. But thank God for the Titans for making sure that he didn't go to the Patriots whenever he hit free agency 2 years ago and saving us from that nightmare. And so, like, they hit all their needs. They have the same offensive line. I do like their skill players, like their outside, their mid-zone game. Their defense was a top-five defense last year. They found their linebacker play with John Bostic and Cole Holcomb. They have Cameron Curl. Next year, they have that safety. I'm very rusty. I'm very upset with myself. Who's that safety from the Giants they paid all that money to?
Oh, I know. Eli Apple.
Landon Collins. Eli Apple, you know who he signed with?
Who?
The Bengals. Oh, good for Eli God. For laying on his feet.
Yeah, great.
They have Landon Collins come back from injury, so you have him and Cameron Curl. Now you have Jackson outside cornerback, and now you have somebody who can like compete with any number one wide receiver out there. I mean, this team is stacked. It's set. It's just like, how far can Taylor Heineke and Ryan Fitzpatrick get you? Because everything else here is perfect, you know? Yeah, I mean,
it's them in Dallas competing.
We could see Washington in like the NFC Championship game next year with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
it could happen.
But that's what I mean, Matt. You're just proving my point on why they're going to run it back. You're just making my argument for me. Just to let you know.
Oh, for Tampa.
Yeah, it's not even funny anymore, dude. But tell me, like, again, think about the NFC. If you're at home, think about the NFC. Who's going to beat them? Running it back.
Yeah.
Who's going to beat him?
I don't know.
Nobody.
We still have the draft coming up.
What do you mean you still have the draft coming up? Who's coming out?
We'll save this conversation for August. We'll put it in a little vault. We'll put it away. And in August, whenever we preview the AFC South, we'll have this conversation then.
Fine. I don't care.
Well, we have some listener questions, but we're running out of time. We got busy Saturday night.
We're going partying!
Yeah, I'll probably just come back maybe tomorrow and just sit here and talk to myself and answer these listener questions. See if the people somewhat of what they want. I don't know.
Just give me like a phone call tomorrow. I'll talk over the phone. It'll make it seem like choppy, like I'm just one of those special guests.
What time you have work tomorrow?
At the same time.
We can do the listener questions tomorrow.
Let's do it.
All right, sounds good. But for now, that's our show for tonight. Thank you for listening to Bowered Radio, and thank you for being on tonight, Taylor.
We're just running it back, man. Better than Josh Allen. Ooh.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.